Our gospel talks of days of great tribulation, people dying of fright and anxiety and great perplexity, and it sounds to me like the feeling right now in the school of canon law, as we realize that all those assignments assigned in August are actually due. There's a lot of perplexity and students dying of fright to think that I had since August to write that paper, and now it's November, and there's only a couple of weeks left of the semester, and that final is due. And much like Jesus is talking about standing before the judge, we have finals coming up, and we get to stand before the professor, and he gets to ask us if we actually learned what we were supposed to learn in the semester. It can be a terrifying kind of thing, and yet we have the sad fact of knowing that this is not a pop quiz or something that just got sprung up on us. We knew it was coming, and to some extent, we put off writing the papers. And hopefully, though, we've been studying as we go, so maybe we're ready for the finals. For us that are in our final year of study of canon law, our third year, this May, before we graduate, we have to take our comprehensive exams, which is kind of like the bar exam for canon lawyers. We, however, get to do it orally before all the faculty, who it's us at the table with all the faculty in front of us, and they get to ask us all the questions they want to ask us until they're satisfied that they want to certify us as a canon lawyer. That we cannot put off to the last minute. Unfortunately, most of us in third year law, we realize we can't put it off to the last minute, so we've been doing good practical things, like we get together for an entire morning each week this entire year to start to get ready and practice for the final exam, comprehensives that we know is coming, so that we will not die of fright on that day, but theoretically we will be ready. It is interesting, though, how having a deadline does kind of turn up the intensity. Imagine if the professor signed that a paper in August and said, hey, you know, just get it to me whenever you want. I don't know, there would probably still be papers from 3 years ago that I wouldn't have written yet. So it is good that we have a deadline, because it means, it's done. It's got to be done. The professor said it is due on this date at this time, and if it's not in, you fail. So it does give a little bit of impetus to our work to know that I got to do it because it's due. To some extent, the season of Advent is meant to kind of stir up the same kind of intensity, as it were, in us during this season. We know that Jesus is returning. There's no doubt he is coming back. And theoretically, we're supposed to pray each day that, Lord, thy kingdom come. We really want it. We want Jesus to come back. And yet Jesus describes in the gospel that that day will be a day of great dismay. People will die of fright in anticipation. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. There will be all kinds of calamity, waves, and all kinds of things going on, and people will be afraid. But we are not supposed to be among those people. Apparently, those are the people who didn't know about Jesus coming back, or didn't care, or put off to the last minute getting ready for the test. Rather, Jesus says for us, those of us who have been warned, who should be looking forward to the coming of Jesus, that when everybody else is dying of fright and there's perplexity all over and everyone's in a husk, we are supposed to stand erect, raise our heads, because we will know that our redemption is at hand and we should be excited. But we're only going to be able to do that if we really are ready. If we do as Jesus reminds us not to do and let our hearts become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, if that's the state we're in when the judge returns, well, that will not go well at all. Because not only will we not be ready, but this will be like the professor coming to me when my paper's not done and me trying to say, well, it's not done. He's like, I told you in August it was due today. It's due. We don't want to be in that situation. So this Advent, it's a time of great joy and hope and expectation. And yes, we're looking forward to the coming of Christmas and the celebration of Jesus coming as a little infant. And all that is so beautiful, and there's so many great traditions, and it's a joyful time with all of our celebration. Yet, we don't want our Advent to be taken up so much on worldly things, maybe even carousing, drunkenness, the anxieties of life, Sounds a little bit like the office Christmas party sometimes. So we have to be careful that we don't just do everything that the world does, and then lo and behold, Jesus comes. Whether at Christmas or at our own death or he returns in glory, well, we don't want to be in that state that it would cause us to die of fright. We want to be the ones that can stand erect and say, thank God Jesus is here. I've been waiting and I'm ready. So we have this time during Advent then to stir up our hearts, that they don't become drowsy. So what should we do? Well, St. Paul in our second reading reminds us, I taught you everything you need to do. We've got the commandments, we've got the teachings of Jesus. Paul says, do that. Do what I taught you, and to the extent that you are doing it, great, but do it even more. Now is the time to turn up the intensity. Whereas the rest of the year, yeah, maybe we're kind of waiting for Jesus to come back, and we kind of mutter the Our Father, and yeah, thy kingdom come. Advent is a time to turn up the intensity a little bit, to be ready as if maybe Jesus will come this Christmas. Maybe this will be the last Christmas we ever celebrate, and it will be the greatest Christmas of our lives. Prophet Jeremiah, in our first reading, stirs up that kind of expectation of what the Israelites would have been thinking at Jesus' first coming. He says, behold, the days are coming when God will fulfill his promise. Remember that promise he made to David, that there would always be a descendant of David to rule over his kingdom. Well, at the time of Jeremiah, it looked like a mess. There was no king, they're in exile, everything's going wrong. And he says, behold, the days are coming. The Messiah is coming. He'll make it all right. Imagine the expectation that the Israelites would have had for the coming of the Messiah. We're supposed to stir up our hearts the way Jeremiah was trying to stir up the Israelites. But there's a problem. Notice that when Jesus came, even the first time, not everybody got it. People that were supposed to be waiting missed it. Jesus came, lived 33 years, died, rose from the dead, and was gone. And some people missed it, weren't ready, weren't expecting the right things. So there is also built into this Advent story then a danger, because we're in between these two comings. It's as if the teacher on the final has given us the final. And we get what most students never get, at least not in graduate school. I think maybe in kindergarten, I got the famous do-over on a test. If you didn't like your grade on the test, can I please take it again? Sure, you can have a do-over. Here you go. That just does not happen in graduate school, let me tell you. There are no do-overs on the test if you don't like your grade. But it is as if we as Christians have been given a kind of a do-over. Jesus came once and, okay, not everybody got it. Some people even crucified the Messiah when he came. And Jesus accepted that. Notice when Jesus came the first time, he wasn't imposing. He didn't come and say, I'm here to take over. He didn't invade. He came as a little baby. What could be more innocent and non-threatening than that? Even at the time of his trial, they tried to get him to testify and he remained silent. They insulted him. He didn't say anything. They put him on a cross and taunted him to come down, and he didn't. That was the first coming. We messed it up a little bit, but we get a do-over. And now we're preparing for the final. But there's no do-over. There's no running out the clock. I was a high school chaplain before I came here, and I got to watch a lot of high school basketball. Because when you're the chaplain, you got to be at the game so they know you love them. And high school basketball is, I played high school basketball, it's good. But one of the peculiarities about high school basketball is that there is no clock that makes you shoot the ball every so often, called the shot clock. So what often happens in high school basketball is that you can get a little bit of a lead and then just stall. Like you go up a couple points, the score is like 6-3, and the team that's ahead will say, that's enough. And then they really spread to all four corners of the court. They call it the four corners offense. And they just throw the ball back and forth, back and forth. Don't even try to score. We'll just run out the clock because, after all, we're ahead. So that's good enough. We'll just stall. Well, that sometimes actually works, unfortunately, in high school basketball, which is why they do it and the fans hate it and it's incredibly boring. It does not work in life. there is no way we can kind of think, well, I'm a basically good person. I'm doing all right. I got a little bit of a lead, maybe. I'll just stall. I'll just kind of run out the clock in life, and Jesus will come back, and so long as I'm, you know, basically okay, I'm all right. So that doesn't work that way in life. Either our hearts slip and become drowsy in drunkenness, anxieties. Either we are lazy and not ready, or we are running forth to meet the Lord with righteous deeds, like our opening prayer says today. It's either one or the other. We're not going to be able to just hang out and stall as basically good. Advent is a time to recognize that and say, okay, where am I a little bit drowsy in my faith? Where do I just kind of stall in life and just kind of run out the clock? It's a time to turn it up a little bit, knowing that, yeah, there's a deadline coming. We don't know when. At least Jesus is going to come at the end of our lives, maybe sooner. But we want to be ready. We want to be able to run forth to meet Jesus, to be the ones in the gospel that can stand erect, raise our heads, and say, there he is. Jesus is here. Praise God. I can't wait to stand before him. Now, the truth is, none of us are probably going to be quite that ready. Because as much as we are hopefully going to have our hearts stirred up, there might be a few things that give us pause before the return of the judge who knows everything. So here are three little practical things to end on to maybe help us this Advent to get ready. So first off, silence. Silence and time for prayer. We need to shut out some of the commotion of the world. In other words, we have to do a little bit the opposite of what the rest of the society is doing. As society gets busier and busier and running all over and parties and presents and shopping, well, we're going to have to be deliberate to make some silence, some time to be quiet, to take some time with Scripture. I'd offer you for some Scripture meditation, the very beginning of the Gospel of John. Everyone can find the Gospels at the back of the Bible. Look at the first chapter of the Gospel of John. It describes the coming of Jesus. It's actually the reading that we read on Christmas Day. So it'll be a good preparation for Christmas. Most people don't get to hear this reading because most people go to Christmas Mass at night. But this is actually the Mass, the fourth Mass of Christmas, the Mass during the day, the first chapter of the Gospel of John. It describes when the Word was flesh and dwelt among us, that reading. Just meditate on the fact that when Jesus came the first time, it says he came as light into the darkness, and people preferred darkness. It says he came to his own, and his own people received him not. But those who did receive him, he gave power to become the children of God. What a great message for us this Advent, to reflect on the first coming of Jesus, the light in the darkness, to pray that we would not prefer darkness, that we would not reject Jesus. So maybe take some time with the Gospel of John to get ready. Secondly, then, in the midst of all the consumerism that's going to go on in this season, buying and buying and buying, I encourage you to look for some opportunities to give. Maybe financially, but give of your time to look out for those less fortunate, those at the margins that Pope Francis is always drawing our attention to. In the midst of all that we have in this country, to be mindful of those who don't have so much, to look out for those people, to seek them out, to do anything we can to be less focused on self, more giving towards others. So to prayer, to set aside some time to give, and then to go out of our way to be open to what God has to give us, to be a good receiver, as it were, also, but not a presence of a praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We do those things during Advent. We will have a very different Advent than the rest of people, but it means we'll be ready. Test is coming. There's no doubt, but we've been warned. We know what the test is. We know we have to be ready. We've got a do-over from the first test. There's nothing we lack to be ready for the coming of Jesus. I pray that this Advent may, in fact, be a time where our hearts are not drowsy, but are stirred up with great longing to meet Jesus when he comes. May you have a very blessed Advent and arrive at Christmas eager, excited, and ready to meet Jesus, to stand erect, to know that our redemption is at hand.